question time, and Chris has
found us a little bit of shade here, which is very thankful from my point of view, because it's very, very warm and heading towards lunchtime now. Suzanne Kay says, "Hi Chris, a quick question. Out on a walk early Saturday evening in Pouring Land," which is probably a mile in that direction,
yes,
isn't it? "And we saw a couple of trees surrounded by what my partner called blind bees. Can you tell us, are they blind or is this just a local name?"
Well, it's a local name of which there are lots and lots. They're not bees. It's very, very definitely a beetle, one of our largest beetles. And what happens at this time of the year, particularly in the evening, is the beetles take off and they look absolutely colossal because they've got their wing cases. I think there was an old car species, was it the DeLorean, or where the doors sort of folded up and over, rather like gun wings.
That's right, yes, that was the ill-fated DeLorean sports car.
Yes, and this is what these bees do. They're rather like ladybirds, but 20 times bigger, so they're a good inch from front end to back end, and they lift these large wing cases up, and the wings are underneath, so it makes them look very large indeed. And they're rather cumbersome flyers, and they tend to fly into things, which gives them this sort of part of their nickname of blind bees. So they're beetles, and these are the adults that you're seeing. They're sort of chocolatey brown in colour. They've got very large and long feathery antennae out of the front. So what they're doing is looking for females, as well as we're standing underneath a row of oak trees here at the farm, and it's quite a regular sight just at sunset to look up through the canopy and see all these bees. They actually make quite a lot of noise as well when they're flying. These beetles, I should say.
Are they as noisy as the bees we saw
earlier? No, they're not. They're fairly quiet because they're usually single. But on particular days, particularly near a thunderstorm, you can have 100 or so flying round a particular oak tree. So it's the cockchafer beetle, and their grubs will have been in the ground. Eggs will have been laid 3 or even 4 years ago, and they will feed on cereal plants, particularly spring cereals. They will also feed on grass roots as well, right down in the soil. You can control them by ploughing them fairly early in the season when they're near the surface. But year on year, the grubs grow. They're always shaped like the letter C. They're very large and white, and rooks love them. So they've also got another nickname called rookworms. So really unusual. And then once you get to the colder weather, one thing the grubs don't like is cold, and they will go down into the soil up to a metre deep. They dig themselves in, and then eventually they'll hibernate. And sort of as once they've emerged, this is quite unusual, they emerge early on in the year that they're going to fly, and then they burrow themselves up to the surface. And in June and July, the cockchafer beetle adults will take to the wing and fly around, and they'll often bump into car windows, the windscreens, and make quite a big splat noise, and you can hear those wing cases. So that's why they're called blind bees. It's a bit of a misnomer, really, as they're beetles. The cockchafer beetle.
Not a beetle. Not a bee, a beetle.
Yes, yeah. You got it.
Thank you, Suzanne. And on to PJ of Uddingston. "Hello all at the farm. Another great podcast, and really enjoyed the discussion from Chris around removal of hedges. Glad he had the foresight to replant so many miles, if just for the habitat. Reminded me of the hedgerows on the farm or at a house years ago. They were mostly holly, hawthorn and beech. Was this common in Norfolk or specific to where I was in lowland Scotland?"
Ah, right. In Scotland, they did use, if they weren't using dry stone walling up there, they would use holly because it's an evergreen, unlike hawthorn, which loses its leaves, and it was a much more suitable plant, particularly with the beech. If you kept the beech cut as a hedge, it also retains its leaves, so it would be really good shelter, because most of the farming up there was livestock farming, so it would shelter your cattle if they were out on the pastures, and the more hardy breeds of sheep, things like the Swaledale sheep up there in the north of the country, very hardy. And on cold days when there's a blizzard blowing, the sheep would hug in either beside the dry stone wall or the holly hedge and for shelter. So there we are. So slightly different here in Norfolk, and we don't do dry stone walling.
PJ says, it's lush here at the moment. Blackbirds feeding on ivy berries. Wood pigeons wondering why they can't jump as high as the blackbirds to get the ripest of the berries. I'm still feeding with suet pellets. There's a new species called the hummingbird magpie, hummingbird crow and hummingbird collared dove who try to hover whilst pecking a couple of pellets. The songbirds still get a share. Keep up the good work, Chris.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, it is quite amusing. Birds are quite intelligent in some ways. Well, they have kind of learned behaviour, just in the same way blue tits did in the 1940s and 50s with doorstep deliveries of milk. They learnt to take the foil tops off bottles. And the birds, particularly I've seen robins doing it, actually hovering whilst they try and peck seeds from seed feeders as well if the weather's harsh.
Any more questions, comments for future episodes of this Countryside podcast, please send them to Chris Skinner via email and the address chris@highashfarm.com. Can we go and find some proper shade now?
Yep, we can, yes. I recommend the local pub, yes.
Well, mine's the first round.
Right, OK, that'll be a first, yes.